Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. For this week's episode with the actual NFL trade deadline today at 4 p.m. Eastern, this will be a trade-focused episode, but on Dynasty Leagues. We'll have an actual trade episode for regular redraft leagues, closer to the deadline in most leagues, and we're going to focus on the positives here, so not players to trade away, but you can find our full rankings, which stay updated routinely on WolfSports.com. So starting at quarterback, the main target that I've mentioned since last year is Bo Nix. We have him as the overall QB6 in Dynasty Leagues. I think that's actually where he's been since before even playing an NFL snap, but many are still hanging on to their pre-draft valuation of Nix, so he can still be a major value if people view him as anything less than a borderline top 5 option at quarterback. And this is the position we've been best at from a real-life perspective, so there should be a few guys that are hyped by the media as being better than Nix that you might be able to trade for him. And the potential could really be scary when Nix, in a year or so probably, fully masters Sean Payton's offense, and there's still room for them to add another big-time pass catcher, which there's been rumors about here on deadline day. So we'll see what happens, but Nix definitely a top-end dynasty quarterback, and we have him right behind Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow at the position. The other name at quarterback, and we're only going to hit on a couple at each position, but Jalen Milroe we still think has major upside if he gets a shot to play. Unfortunately, with the way Sam Darnold has performed, it might not come in Seattle for at least 2 or 3 years, but the value won't get any cheaper for Milroe, so now is the time to go for him. The upside is comparable to Lamar Jackson, and he's at least getting great coaching in Seattle, so whether you need to be patient here, or maybe another team would see the upside and make a trade for him, with Darnold entrenched there, Milroe could pay huge dividends, and even if he doesn't turn out to be a top-flight NFL quarterback, which we think he would be if he gets a shot, Milroe's rushing upside could still make him a fantasy force, so definitely a top investment to make at the position. For running back, we'll stick in Seattle, with Kenneth Walker III being a great buy-low investment. This season has been frustrating, as he splits work with Zach Charbonnet, and even on Sunday night we saw him get vultured by AJ Barner, the tight end who sneaked it in at the one-yard line. But Walker just turned 25 at the end of October. He'll be a free agent after the season, so I think a team out there will want to sign him in the offseason as a feature back, and Seattle certainly is in a bad spot for him, and maybe they'll even work to re-sign him. But the talent Walker's shown in his career and dating back to his time at Michigan State really gives him high-end RB1 potential if he were given a full featured workload, so it could be a good time to check in on the price, and there are teams out there that could use him as the feature back next year. Houston comes to mind, maybe the Cardinals, and the really scary landing spot would be Kansas City, but we think he's at least a borderline RB1 right now in Dynasty Leagues, and could be boosted in the perfect situation in 2026. And then moving up a bit, a name that would probably be difficult to acquire, but we have Quinshon Judkins as the overall RB4 and a top 10 overall player in Dynasty Leagues. He doesn't have a ton of help around him in Cleveland right now, but the touches have been there when the Browns are able to play from ahead, and there's absolutely no denying the talent. We thought Judkins was a clear number 2 back in the class behind Ashton Jeanty, and he looks like a legitimate future superstar. So if viewed as anything less than someone with top 10 value in a dynasty league, Judkins should be a great high-end addition and someone that can anchor a roster for hopefully the next several years. At wide receiver, there's a prime buy-low opportunity on Brian Thomas Jr. Based on how this season has started in Jacksonville, he's not quite a fit in Liam Cohen's offense as more of a Randy Moss-style vertical threat rather than someone that's going to go over the middle consistently and make tough catches in traffic, which seems to be what Cohen wants at wide receiver. So based on how the season has started, and his value dipping after an impressive rookie campaign, now is the time to buy on Thomas, and the Bills are the main team that comes to mind as a perfect fit, so we still have him as a wide receiver 1 option, ranking in the top 12 at the position, and it's not like we haven't already seen him be excellent at the NFL level based on what he did as a rookie, so there are probably a bunch of frustrated owners out there, and I think it's a good idea to check in the price with a major potential payoff if everything clicks again. There are a bunch of names at wide receiver, but for more of an undervalued option, I'll highlight Romeo Doubs. He actually hasn't found the end zone since week 4, but Doubs has been the clear wide receiver 1 for Green Bay. He's caught at least 5 passes in 4 of the past 5 games. Last week in a tough spot versus Carolina, he had 7 receptions for 91 yards, and the touchdown ceiling is very high for him. We saw the 3-score performance against the Cowboys earlier this year. He had 8 touchdowns in 2023, and I would think there's a good chance the Packers re-sign him with his contract expiring after the season. But if not, I think he'd get a nice deal elsewhere. And Doubs has a great release, knows how to win at all levels of the field, and will make tough catches in traffic. So I think people are still undervaluing him because he's not the flashiest player, but Dobbs is a nice investment at wide receiver with a dynasty value that somehow puts him as the wide receiver 55 when he should be at least in the top 40. And then at tight end, there are also quite a few values, even being a shallow position, but the two I'll highlight are Dalton Kincaid and Isaiah Likely. For Kincaid, we have him as the tight end 2 behind Brock Bowers, and he showed his potential last week again with a 100-yard game versus Kansas City. And when Kincaid's been healthy, he's been a true difference maker for Buffalo. As stated in a previous episode this year, Kincaid was talked up by both Tony Gonzalez and Matt Ryan last year. Gonzalez, I think, talked him up 2 years in a row as a superstar talent. So he's the tight end 9, according to consensus rankings, which is far too low. And Kincaid should be a high-end tight end 1 for as long as he's healthy, catching passes from Josh Allen. For Likely, I've spent a bunch of time talking about him this year, but that's because he's a talent-based investment. And especially in dynasty formats, the path to a full-time role will be wide open if he re-signs with Baltimore and Mark Andrews potentially heads elsewhere, which seemed like it might have been the case at the end of last season. For the rest of this season, Likely will face the Bengals twice, who have been destroyed by opposing tight ends, and we saw some of the potential with Lamar Jackson back under center last week, so we have Likely as our tight end 7 in dynasty leagues, and he's another player where now is the time to invest, with his value taking a hit due to a slow start in 2025. So that will conclude this episode. Again, our full rankings for Dynasty Leagues can be found on wolfsports.com. Of course, we have our weekly rankings and everything else there as well. And if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Don Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.